Today, in the Romans passage I have chosen to share with you this morning, begins with three very powerful statements. It depends on which version you read from. Let's recap. Let love be sincere. Could be one of the versions you have. Or let love be genuine. And one particular version say, let love be without hypocrisy. Okay, so that's the first statement. The second one is, abhor what is evil or hate what is evil. And the third statement say, hold fast to what is good. Another version may say, cling on to what is good. Well, immediately following after this three powerful statement, there's another list of things to do. At least to act in such a way. In fact, if you count it all up, it's probably come to about 13 of these virtues of love. Or 13 distinguishing marks of love. And this is really very similar, if not identical, to the 13 virtues of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that we are very familiar with. So you can go home and compare the two lists and see where are the similarity and what might be some of the differences. For example, in Corinthians they say love is patient, love is kind, and so on. So today, this is the Romans version, or Paul in his letters to the Romans. And to me, what comes across is that it is when Christianity gets real. Or our faith in action, where the rubber meets the road. Well, this, you know what that is. I think Paul deliberately packaged in such a way about this love thing that we need to peel it off layer by layer. All right? So you can go back and you can peel your own onion as you work out the list of layer by layer what Paul is trying to share with us today. It is about personal holiness, spelled out in details. It is about living sacrifice that we have been touching upon in the last few weeks at some point in time. It is about the sanctification that the Holy Spirit is working in each one of us and through us, as some of you shared earlier about the advice you may give to others who are committing their lives together. And it is about following Jesus. So let's look at these three powerful statements individually. First one, I like this version. Say, let love be without hypocrisy. Genuine. Authentic. Real. That's what love needs to be. Now think of all the things Paul could have said about love. Why didn't he say, let's love be great, earnest, joyful, constant, bold, and all this sort of thing? Yet he chose to say, let's not be with hypocrisy. Why? What has he got in mind? It's because, like love, there is a lifestyle that lies behind these words and statements that show the worth of Jesus who lives in us. In other words, our love needs to be Christ-centered. It needs to be other-centered and not self-centered, as some of you already picked it up in earlier advices. Hypocrisy, self-centeredness, show itself in two particular ways. One is that it tries to mask the outside to look better than what is on the inside. And the typical statement that Jesus made in Matthew, the Gospel, where he said, referring to the people that he was speaking about, "These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." There is importance of outside and inside matching. And that's where the genuineness, where there's a hypocrisy lies. The other way that hypocrisy may come upon is that sometimes people would hide their own flaws by drawing attention to other people's flaw, kind of redirect things. And again, Jesus has something to say about that when he referred to why people criticize other people, judge others when they have a speck in the eye, yet they themselves have a plank. Redirect things so that people don't look at us, but rather look at somebody else. And that is not being authentic in love. That is not genuine. And that holds hypocrisy. And that's why Paul is trying to bring it across, that love must be without hypocrisy. So that was the first statement. Then the next two is say, abhor or hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Liking something doesn't make it good. And hating something doesn't make it bad or evil. But there is a reality out there about good and evil. And it doesn't take much from us to look what is outside around us, television, newspaper, telling us news everywhere. There is evil out there. Yes, there is good out there as well, but equally, there is evil out there. That's the reality. What makes good, good? And what makes evil, evil? Is it a subjective thing? Or is it something a bit more objective? I believe there is objective good and evil. In the Romans letters, Paul in verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So what does that statement tell us? It is God who set the standard of what is good and evil. Because in God's world, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So there is such thing as objective good. Not just relying on our subjective judgment, but what God set as a standard. If there is no God, then everything is subjective. But there is a God. God exists, and he gives us the standard. So what the good and true and right and beautiful have objective foundation that is found in God and Jesus Christ. Another point about this is that it's more than just choosing to do good. The word that Paul talks about is to hate or abhor evil. In other words, there has to be that intensity in us that we would really, really don't want to do it, don't want to behave that way, don't want to act that way, because it is disdainful, it is terrible, and we must avoid it. It is that intensity that helps us to choose better. We need to also realize that what God calls evil must be bad for people, and what God calls good must be good for people. We don't decide what is good for people and what is bad for people and then define love that way. Rather, evil hurts others, hurts people, dishonor God, And we can't claim to love people if we condone evil. We can see that very clearly in 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. It says, John writes, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandment." God sets the standard. So how do we know we're loving people? By loving God first and following God's commandment. And His commandment are the expression of what is good for us and for others. And His prohibition on other things express those that are bad for people and evil for people. Well, I don't have time to unpeel the rest because there is such a long list. So I'm just going to focus on the first three statements, and you can take this onion home if you choose and peel the rest yourself by reading the rest of this passage in Romans. Let me bring it all together. Winston Churchill once made a very short speech, and he said, "Never, never, never give in." That's all. That was his speech. Never, never, never give in. And I think, I don't know whether he has anything in mind about biblical truth and so on, but I may borrow this statement. He said, "Never, never, never give in to evil. Never, never, never give up in doing good." And I believe that's what God has a message for each and every one of us. Now, Salvation Army. The founder of Salvation Army, William Booth. One day, he walked to the podium. He looked at the faces of all the people, like me looking at you right now. And his entire address was one word: others. He went up there, others, and he walked off to the amazement of the people. And then he sat down. Short, poignant, and direct. Others. We know that the Salvation Army is very good in social services, in helping people, and so on. And that has always been the motto of others. We are not living in a spiritual cul-de-sac. What do I mean? In other words, cul-de-sac, everyone comes in, but you don't really, it doesn't go flow anywhere else. We are not to be a cul-de-sac. We are to work out our salvation. We are to share the good news of Jesus to others. We are to help and show kindness and act in love and faith with other people. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through each and every one of us so that the love of Jesus will flow through us. In John chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, "By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." It is through love that we know, or people know, that we are God's disciples. And that's really is what I call a badge of disciples. Love. Loving others and showing love for others. What would make these things happen? By the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We may not be able to do it all, but it is Christ and the Holy Spirit who dwell in us, who work through us, sanctifying us, that enable us to love in a genuine and a sincere way. So, let's peel back this onion by just quickly summarize. Three statements to begin with. Let love be genuine, without hypocrisies. In other words, that when we come here on church on Sunday, We are the same person on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. Genuine, authentic, who we are. Abhor what is evil. Hate it. Hate it with disdain. Hate it because it caused people badness. Hate it. We don't want to have any involvement in it. And the third statement, hold fast, or I like the word cling. Cling to what is good. Just won't let go. The goodness that God is showing us and want us to share, cling onto it as if our life depends on it. And then the rest, and that's where the onion comes from, love one another as you peel off another layer. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And last but not least, seek to show hospitality. Well, dear friends, that's the onion for you. Peel it. Meditate on it. Think about it within the context of this whole passage in Romans. So, anyone want to catch up? Right, let us pray. Father, we thank you for what Paul says in this letter. Let us listen to the word of the Holy Spirit to help and guide each one of us to love authentically, to share the gospel of Christ in love with others. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.